Hosea 3, verse 1. Yahweh said to me, go again, love a woman loved by another, and an adulteress, even as Yahweh loves the children of Israel. It's a little bit hard to understand what's going on here. You could read this as meaning that, okay, he has married Gomer, who was a prostitute, who represented Israel, and now he is told, go again, love a woman loved by another and an adulteress, even as Yahweh loves the children of Israel. As if he's being told, now go and marry another woman and go through this all over again with her. In which case the woman would be Judah in the acted parable. Or you could read this as God saying, look, okay, so you married this prostitute, right, but try and offer her a remarriage. Just as some couples like to do when they've had a period of difficulty to sort of rededicate themselves to each other. And Hosea does fantasize about that, about them having some open-air wedding ceremony where the earth and the heavens echo back the joy and the whole of the natural creation join in. So that could be in view. But quite simply, Yahweh said to me, go again, love a woman loved by another and an adulteress, even as Yahweh loves the children of Israel. Straight away you think, so what is love then? One takeaway from this, if you take nothing else, is that love, as it is defined here, is not an emotion. Love is an act of the will. How can you love a woman loved by another who is an adulteress? She's got loads of blokes, you know, she's one of those. How can you love her? She's loved by somebody else and she loves them. You go and love her. In any case, the commandment, go and love a woman. Go and love. This is not at all the idea of love that is in this world. It is one of the greatest tragedies, I think, that love is so misunderstood as a passing attraction. We met and there was this chemistry between him and me, or between her and myself, and there was this chemistry and we're in love. So you think that chemistry is not to be denied, that is not to be denied, but this is not actually the same as long-term love. People who think that love equals that love equals passing initial attraction chemistry, well, I'm afraid they go from relationship to relationship, because that is built into the human experience by God as the opening gambit, as the beginning. And then the relationship matures into trust, into probably a family, and so forth. And love is an act of the will. This is, as he says, how God loves the children of Israel. This was not any sort of passing chemistry between God and his people. And of course, God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we, as it were loving others and were not even around, he gave his son to die, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You'll also notice that this definition of love is quite contrary to the spirit of the law of Moses, which punished adultery by death. So it doesn't say, go to this woman and tell her, stop whoring around, stop being a prostitute and an adulteress, and then I shall love you and you can have a relationship with me. Whether it's a remarriage to Gomer or marrying Judah, or whichever of those two options you choose to go for. But the point is that God tells him to love somebody who is doing things which really, according to the law of Moses, God's law, required the death sentence. Now, this all speaks of God's amazing love over and above his law. And we are told to go and love, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people. So love then is not something that comes easy. That's something else you take from this. It's quite easy to fall in love. Well, if two single folks meet together and there's chemistry between them, this is the easiest thing in the world. It's very easy. But love here is an act of the will. Go again when you've been so burnt by doing it before. Go again and love a woman who's loved by others. Well, as I see it then, the call is for us to take the love of God into this world. That is not going to be easy. It does not mean doing that which comes easy. It may, for example, come to you very easy to, I don't know, work in a soup kitchen in Riga in Latvia. It may be easy for you to do that because you like that sort of thing. You like just being there cooking. You like mixing with homeless folks and being appreciated, etc. But I suggest that the real love is to go against your will, is something that is so proactive that you've got to take a very deep breath to go and do it. It may be that for you, cooking food mass catering is a nightmare. It really is, and standing before rough people is a nightmare. Now, I'm not saying that you should try to just do what is sort of difficult for you and sort of flagellate yourself, as it were. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that real love, abiding love, the love that goes on, throughout the weeks and the months and the years that make up human life, this is not easy. And this is a call to do something that is going to be very difficult. And he's told to do this according to the love of Yahweh for the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods. Though they turn to other gods. So this is the idea that they do turn to other gods. They're unfaithful. All of this is absolutely abhorrent behavior according to the Old Covenant. And yet, despite that, God loved them so deeply and so passionately. And Hosea is asked to reflect that. So verse 2, so I bought her for myself for 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half of barley. Well, he pays then partly in cash and partly in kind for the dowry. Well, that suggests that he was not wealthy. He was not wealthy. He'd given Gomer all his wealth. That's what I think you figure out from Hosea 2. And she'd blown it, basically, as it were, down the casino with the blokes, with the guys. She'd blown it on her lovers, paying people to sleep with her. I mean, now he's asked to give his very last bit for this woman, either, as I say, to remarry her or to take another wife. The fact that he has to pay for her, I suspect that this is a second wife, another adulterous wife, and I suggest it represents Judah. A lot of people would say, now, I've been so burnt by relationships, and I was so burnt by, I don't know, going to that church, or I was so burnt by that denomination, I was so burnt by this or that experience. Never again. How many times have we said that? I remember years ago when I was totally unjustly disfellowshipped and kicked out of the denomination I was in. I was sleeping at my parents' house that evening, and I drove up to the ridge where they are, and I looked out over the suburbs of South London, and I swore that I would never walk into a church again. And I would certainly never go anywhere near the denomination that had kicked me out. I know how that feels. And we all go through that. People have a messy relationship that ends in divorce, and they swear, I'm never, never going to get married again. I'm never, ever going to love again. And that's all understandable. It's all understandable. But you see, Hosea had gone through that with Gomer, and if anyone really could come out of that and say, never again. And God says, yes, go again. That is, I think, the force of verse 1. Yahweh said to me, God Almighty, said to me, little man here on earth, go again and love a woman loved by another. Do it again. You've been burnt, understand, but do it again. And I think the only way you can do it again, the only way you can go back into that church, the only way you can love again, the only way you can have another relationship in any, whatever it is, personal relationship or with whatever, is to do so on the basis that go again, go and do this, according to the love of Yahweh for the children of Israel who turn to other gods. This is why we have so much evidence in the whole Bible about the love of God for idolatrous Israel. It is there to inspire us. Well, 15 pieces of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. Well, the price is pretty low. 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave in Exodus 21. So, what sort of woman was this? Was she worth much? No. This is a pretty cheap dowry price. And yet, this is the idea, that we're not much, in a sense. And yet, God gave all that he had, absolutely to the end, in order to redeem us. This is the power of the cross, that I, who am really a nothing special woman at all, he should give his all for. The tragedy of Hosea is at the end, really, where despite all this love that he shows, and the love of God that he was reflecting to Israel and Judah, you know, does it really work? Does Hosea come back to him? We like to imagine there would be a final section in Hosea that says, and Gomer and wife number 2 came back to Hosea and said, we are verily and terribly sorry for how we've treated you all our lives. We love you, and yeah, for sure we're going to go with nobody else apart from with you. Absolutely for certain and for sure. And they lived happily ever after and shall live together in God's kingdom forever. No. You see, you don't read that, do you? That's not there. And so it is really with God and Israel, all the love, but it was not responded to. It's the tragedy of unrequited love. You can read any amount of novels, watch any amount of movies, plays, poems, or whatever, about the tragedy, the strange sort of gripping tragedy of unrequited love. But if ever there was an unrequited love, it was between, it is between God and Israel. I think that's why if you go and preach to God's people, Israel, I think in a funny way you have his special blessing, because you're trying desperately to bring an end to that tragedy of unrequited love, even in just one or two lives. If you can get a Jewish person to say yes to Jesus, be baptized, I really believe that, sure, every baptism is equally wonderful, but I think that that is particularly the triumph of God and, to some degree, assuages the pain of this unrequited love. And you'll find it all so in your own ministry that you may keep on trying and trying, spread the gospel to this one or that one, try to build up this church or that church, work with your own family maybe, or people near and dear to you. And it often doesn't work, at least in your lifetime. And again, in those feelings you are sharing, I think the tragedy of God in this same sense of unrequited love towards his people.